Should we try this?
Sure.
Okay.
From KCRW, this is Here Be Monsters.
Okay. So here's just the method I taught myself. For 30 seconds or so, you go as fast as you can, and then you can dip under. Close your eyes, and then just see what you can remember. I would say go to about 80%. Does that sound all right?
Why not? A lot about past life regression. Like, in some sense, if you remember something, even if it never happened, it's still real for you.
Here Be Monsters, the podcast about...
I think we could live our lives never going into the ocean.
The podcast about...
the unknown.
What do you remember?
I almost drowned recently. I was in the ocean in Santa Monica with my friend Kara. We got pulled out by a tide and we couldn't get back in. And we had to be saved by a lifeguard. Like, every time that I would go under and not be able to breathe, I was thinking about the fact that she couldn't breathe because she was panicking a lot more than I was, and she was saying things like, we're gonna die.
That was recently.
Yeah, just a few months ago.
How close to death do you think you might have actually been that day in the water at Santa Monica?
Probably closer than I've ever been. I think if we had kept panicking, we could have drowned. And when we got onto the beach after having been in the water, the relief felt like we both immediately called all of our loved ones and told them that we loved them.
Should we try again?
Sure.
Do you think there's any chance this happened?
that I drowned in a past life.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way to make sense of how afraid I was as a child of the water. I mean, it's like the kind of fear that I would associate with trauma. I mean, now I know someone who's drowned, so I have a real trauma associated with drowning. I don't have to make up reasons. I would almost be pleased if I drowned. It would be like a confirmation of this thing that seemed like an irrational fear my whole life. Like, take that world, it wasn't so irrational after all. Except I'd be dead, so I wouldn't be saying that.
What did you remember about your past life?
Nothing. I did think about Mr. Lutz, though, who was a high school teacher of mine who drowned.
Do you know what happened?
He was pulled out by a riptide. He didn't die that much later than my grandmother. And I didn't cry at all at my grandmother's funeral, and I could not stop sobbing at his funeral. I think my dad was really hurt by it. I've only woken up crying twice, but one was because I had this dream that he hadn't died, that he had to escape the U.S. for tax evasion reasons, and he had come back to our high school to, like, surprise us with being alive. And in my dream, I hugged him, and I woke up crying tears of relief. So it was really hard for me to believe that he actually died. Maybe because he was my teacher, and so he had so much authority in my life.
Should we do one more? On this one, I just want you to search for one detail from your person from the past life. And see if there's one detail that, even just one, that can surface, true or imagined. Does that sound all right?
I'll try.
Okay. Whenever it feels right, just dip under.
I think we could live our lives never going into the ocean.
I mean, I know there are people who don't swim, you know? Just never swim, you know? I'm just kind of surprised you do. Like, do you see this when you walk around? Do you see this, like...
death everywhere?
Yeah, just the ability for that chance to swing the wrong direction at the wrong time.
I think it's easiest to see in traffic. On tops of buildings, you inevitably think about jumping or falling off. I heard about someone recently, a friend of a friend, who tripped and fell and hit his head and died. I don't think I was the only one who drowned. I think it was a whole ship that went down.
What did it look like?
Dark and hair. There's hair.
What color?
Brown.
Do you know what year it is?
No.
Do you think this person has any bearing on the life you live in this lifetime?
Yes, at a lower level. Things I like to eat. Maybe why I'm not very nice to my dad, even though he's such a good guy. Wouldn't that be nice if it weren't my fault?
You kind of freaked me out when you started tapping your feet and hands. What was that?
I just thought I could stay under longer. And I thought panic might help.
This episode of Here Be Monsters was produced by me, Jeff Entman, with help from Bethany Denton. If you'd like to learn how I got the underwater sounds for this episode, please visit our website, hbmpodcast.com. There we have simple instructions on how to turn any microphone into a hydrophone for about $1. Again, we're hbmpodcast.com. Also give us a call on our voicemail. We always want to hear your thoughts on episodes and also just the weird sounds that you might encounter in your daily life. Our number is 765-374-5263. Stick around after the credits to hear some of the calls we've gotten recently. Here Be Monsters is a part of the independent producer project from KCRW. Our editor there is Nick White. Our manager is Kristen Lepore. Music on this episode came from The Black Spot. Thanks for listening. More episodes soon.
Hi, my name is Lou Roy, and I live on Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and I want to tell you about a time that I lost my faith in God. I was visiting a facility for people with intellectual impairments, and I remember looking into a crib and seeing a person who was in their 20s, but looked like they were only maybe a year old, and I looked at a person standing next to me who worked there and said, "There's just no God. There's no God." And I stood there in silence for a while. I was crying, and then I said, "I don't understand why you work here." And she looked at me and looked at the person in this crib and said, "This person lights up my life every day. She's the reason why I come to work. She's the reason why I do believe in God. And I feel like everyone's here for a reason." And I was just so shaken. It took me a long time to digest what she had said. I guess that's the whole thing about faith, is that you have to remember to have it when things are bad, or when things are not going your way, or you see something that just completely rocks your world. Anyway, thanks for the show. It's great. I really enjoy it. Happy holidays.
Hey, my name's Ingrid. I'm in California, and I've really been appreciating the recent series about sort of leaving churches, and it's been striking a really heavy chord. I didn't grow up religiously, but I feel like I have a lot of guilt and shame. It keeps coming back to me, and I don't know where it came from. And part of me just thinks it's some sort of inherited trauma or something, like previous generation. And I'm really curious about that. I guess I want to learn more. I've heard about epigenetics and about how trauma can be inherited. I don't know why I feel that, but it's just been, it keeps nagging at me, and I have this incredible fear of hell and going to hell, and I don't know how to temper it. And I want to make sense of it. So yeah, thanks for what you've been providing. It feels really liberating. And I love the show. I've loved it for a long time. So thanks. Bye.
Hi guys. My name's Cody. So I wanted to summarize some of my response to the episode, Eve is Hungry. The first thing that I wanted to point out is how the speaker said that Eve and Adam were forbidden from eating from the tree of knowledge. And this is a pretty common telling of this. I hear it all the time. However, the text actually says that they are not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The implication, of course, being that God only intended for us to know good, but at some point we all choose to know both good and evil. In your response to me, you noted that this is where our opinions diverge. In your view, good and evil exist on a spectrum. And I would agree with you to an extent, but I would condition it with this. I would argue that good and evil, or rather good and the absence or contradiction to good, can objectively exist in a perfective state. but that human action and decisions cannot be either perfectly good or evil for sure. So while I do believe in theoretical objective good and evil, I think that the seven-layer dip of human will is indeed by nature spectral. Also, the speaker said that the serpent pointed out the lie that they would die the day they ate the fruit. But I would argue I don't think that that's a lie. Adam and Eve experience a real death that day, and that the death they experience is even worse than physical death. It's the death of innocence, which is commonly referred to in Christianity as spiritual death. So after they eat the fruit, they notice that they're naked. They look at each other and they're like, what's going on here? We don't have any clothes on. And I think that that definition of evil is so profound that when they understand evil, what they actually understand in that moment is how things which should be good and beautiful and natural are so easily perverted into a thing of shame. And I find that so profound. So overall, I don't believe that this is a story about secret knowledge versus human ambition. I think it's about how we as humanity are our own worst enemy, and how we collectively decide all too often against our own best interests. And it's led to this world where the super powerful just trod all over the poor and the meek and the innocent and the helpless. It's led to this world where beauty and knowledge and aspiration and science and all these things which should be just unadulterated are turned into weapons that harm ourselves and others, and even right now is, you know, bringing doom to our own home, our own planet. And I think that that rings a little more truly to the central issue of this text. So thanks for listening. I really enjoy your podcast, and I hope you enjoy my response. Thanks.
The earth falls away. I am floating in nothing but dark matter. If things were different, maybe I'd be able to latch on to Halley's comet's tail. At least I'd be moving, albeit probably on fire. And so today I keep discovering things, and I actually told the truth, though hidden and possibly not really my job to do, to a person who is clearly too focused on telling everyone everything that they think about and how great they are. I get it. Pumping yourself up in front of the world is the new thing. I get it. Though I don't really respect it. I come from a slightly more puritanical time when it was not looked upon as prudent to brag. But I do get it. And it helps to love yourself, and it helps to think you're the bomb. But you really need to bring it if you are going to brag, because that is all you're doing is bragging. Let's be honest. King Chandragupta gave Emperor Seleucus 500 war elephants to stay out of his territory. There may be a lesson there. But I don't advocate the use of elephants for anything. We should be leaving them alone to do elephant things. Here Be Monsters helps a lot in this world. Thank you for making it.
Posted by La Vaquita on iTunes. 5 stars. iTunes.